You are watching Game Time Decisions. I am Gabriel Morenci. Welcome to the program that puts his money where his fantasies are on the Fantasy Sports Network. Let's do this thing as the countdown continues. NFL divisional playoffs rapidly approaching. Ezekiel Elliott reportedly in a minor car accident, but will be good to go for Sunday's finale. We're going to be breaking it down. Mark Lawrence, playbook.com, will join me. We'll talk some NFL football with Mark Lawrence. Speaking of NFL football, we're going to be joined by a former Denver Bronco, one of the greatest safeties ever to play the game. The fact that he's not in the Hall of Fame yet is kind of a travesty. Yet, Steve Atwater will be a Hall of Famer. He's just got to play the waiting game right now. Steve Atwater joins us on the program. So we've got football, and some basketball. My boy Peter Yiannopoulos, former assistant coach with the UMass and Minutemen, RDS television analyst, will join us. We'll dig a little deeper into this Derrick Rose situation. The Knicks have been in a free fall even without the Rose saga. And don't look now, man, but the Philadelphia 76ers have actually won three of their four last basketball games and have already won as many games this year as they did entirely last year. Joel Embiid actually is a badass, and he's lighting it up. So we'll break down. It's not this first time ever I think we've done this, actually. In fact, I can't recall ever a show in 15 years have ever opened up and said, yeah, on tonight's show, we're breaking down the Philadelphia 76ers game, or at least since Allen Iverson was there. But nevertheless, it's one of the games on the board this evening. We've got a ton of picks for you as well. So we got Mark Lawrence, Steve Atwater. I'm really fired up for Steve Atwater. By coincidence, it appears as though that Vance Joseph, Miami Dolphins defensive coordinator, will be the next head coach of Steve Atwater's Denver Broncos. And, Atwater's a part of the Ring of Fame there in Denver. He's tight with the organization, so we'll get his take on that. He was also a teammate of Anthony Lynn, who looks like, it was almost a sure shot he was going to be the next coach of the Buffalo Bills. Now he might be the next coach of the Rams. The Bills reportedly close to hiring McDermott, the defensive coordinator from Carolina, and Mike McCoy, the just recently fired head coach of San Diego, would be the new offensive coordinator with the Buffalo Bills. Wade Phillips thinks he's coming back. Poor Wade. At this point, if we're the Bills, why don't we just give the job to Wade Phillips? He was the last coach to get us to the playoffs. Maybe if old man Wilson wouldn't have forced him to play Rob Johnson, things would have been different. Things could have been, could have, should have, would have. They're not, all right? They're not. Which I guess is a pretty fitting segue into Johnny Manziel. Could have, should have, would have, didn't. As Super Bowl 51 is rapidly approaching right now, we're all trying to figure out who's going to be playing in a game, trying to figure out, who's going to light it up for fantasy purposes on a weekly basis. But Super Bowl 51 is around the corner, man. Do you have your plans yet? Listen, I'm not a big Super Bowl party type of guy. I don't want to be in a room full of bozos that don't even pay attention to football all year. They're more interested in Lady Gaga's halftime show than they are the actual game. So I don't do Super Bowl parties. I don't watch the game with friends, so to speak. My friend is a laptop, and my friend is the live in-play lines, all right? But that's, few and far between, really. The last time I actually watched the Super Bowl, like on TV, just like a normal person sitting there, I think it was Seattle and Denver, maybe? Seattle and Denver? Or no, Seattle and New England, I actually was in front of a computer. Now, for the most part, I'm in Vegas. Super Bowl weekend in Vegas has always been one of my things. I've lived in Vegas, but Super Bowl weekend, that's the weekend, so to speak. The UFC is usually on Saturday night, and then subsequently, the following night, you get the Super Bowl, you got big college games, ton of stuff going on, no better place to be than Vegas. Yet, Vegas ain't what it used to be, all right? And if, put it this way, if Los Angeles just opened up a sports book, they already have casinos, they started taking sports, Las Vegas freaking closes, all right? Because besides, like, Asian people playing Baccarat and degenerates coming up from Cali, alley to bet on sports. Nobody goes to Vegas. But Vegas Super Bowl weekend, great time, but it's sort of like going out on New Year's Eve. All right? There's like, it's too many people. It's expensive. And you sort of lose it. So I'm trying to figure out, what am I going to do this year? And I got a couple of things in store. Stay tuned. And so we might be hosting our own Super Bowl party. So, you know, if I'm going to do a party, man, it's going to be big. I'm not going to some bozo's house to watch the game. But I'm thinking, you know, Houston, Texas, that'd be pretty cool. Now, I'm not going to be going to the Super Bowl in Houston, Texas this year, but I actually was there last time it was actually there. I think it was 2003, 2004, whatever the hell it was. It was so long ago, and you've often heard me say so long ago, that I had hair, but we got some video, actually, and I had hair. And here we are, and that's with that's Rob Dibble, if you're wondering. World Series champion Rob Dibble. That's Houston, Texas. We're across the street from the stadium. We got extremely blasted. Now, what makes that video very funny is the fact that the cameraman who was shooting that video, our boy Mick Ossie, actually vomited on us at the end of the interview. He puked on our shoes, so to speak. And then Janet Jackson got naked and all hell broke loose. And all you had in New England Patriots beat the Carolina Panthers in the Super Bowl. So Houston, great city. We had a hell of a time there, even though we got kicked out and banned by the NFL for 3 years for all of our indiscretions that time there in Houston. Things got pretty crazy, all right, guys? But I'm like, man, I want to go back to Houston. I don't have the money to go back to Houston. Now that I know that Johnny Manziel will be making a public appearance in Houston, Texas, Super Bowl week, how can I not go? You know, Johnny Manziel, are you kidding me? It's impossible to get Johnny Manziel's autograph. It's impossible to get a picture of Johnny Manziel unless you hang out outside any local courthouse, dive bar, or wherever TMZ is going to be. As Johnny Manziel will be signing autographs and taking selfies with you. Now, for the record, the selfie will cost you $50. Now, he won 2 games in the NFL, so I guess he's worth $50, right? I'd rather donate $50 to the Hillary Clinton Foundation than I would give $50 to Johnny Manziel for a freaking picture of him. Like, seriously, you want a picture of Johnny Manziel? Sorry, Johnny, you can sue me for this, but I'll sell you a picture. Picture of Johnny Manziel for $10. It'll basically be a picture of my ass. All right, and there's Johnny Manziel. There he is. So $50. That's pretty bold of you, there, Johnny. That's pretty bold. He wants $99 for an autograph. Like, now what? Who's he appearing with, anyways? Ryan Leaf? is it the All-Star Winner Table? Johnny Manziel, Ryan Leaf, and Cato Kalin. Like, at this point in time, Johnny, like, really, do you need the freaking money? You already have money. I don't know, did your parents cut you off? Is your allowance gone? Whatever happened to you wrecking the National Football League? like, dude, I could live with this if you were trying to, you know, make a couple of bucks around the college football world. You're a Heisman Trophy guy. I mean, just chill out, move into that Nissan house and hang out with the other Heisman Trophy winners. But dude, you're gonna show up at the dance. That's pretty bold of you. Showing up at the Super Bowl and trying to charge $99 freaking dollars. So yeah, we're trying to figure out like our Super Bowl locks and our top plays, but we've got our first official Super Bowl prop for you right now. My prop is the Johnny Manziel, when he's signing an autograph for $99, the one person that's stupid enough or appears to be stupid enough to actually give Johnny Manziel $99 will actually be a bailiff. And Johnny Manziel will get served papers for one of his various unanswered lawsuits that he doesn't attend to. That's my first Super Bowl lock in a week. Number one, nobody's going to give you freaking $50 or $99, Johnny. And secondly, the only people going to show up for your signature will be a damn bailiff. Game Time Decisions continues. Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. We are live. I am Gabriel Morenci. The show replays at 5:30 on the television side of things. 5 o'clock. Download the radio app for the Fantasy Sports Network radio network. You can listen wherever you are. You can listen to whatever you want, when you want, podcast format. It's extremely popular. We're getting a ton of downloads. We encourage you to download it. All right. So we got Peter Yiannopoulos. We're going to talk about the Derrick Rose situation in a couple of minutes. Steve Atwater is going to join me. Two-time Super Bowl champion and maybe the hardest hitter ever to play in the National Football League. That's not a stretch either. Like, Steve Atwater, this guy laid the wood, man, all right? And if you look it up, of course, we don't have the rights to play it, but there's a famous tackle that he made on the Nigerian nightmare, Christian Okoye, on a Monday nighter, Kansas City and Denver. It's a famous hit, but there's also the famous Super Bowl hit against the Packers. With like 30 seconds left, Steve Atwater knocked three people out with one hit. He knocked himself out, he knocked Robert Brooks of the Packers out, and he knocked Hilliard out, his teammate. Look, watch that. Just search it right now. Just go Atwater hit Super Bowl. There's three bodies out after the fact, man. The dude is a badass. He'll join us in a couple of minutes. So I brought up Johnny Manziel. He's charging $50 for a selfie and $99 for an autograph. And you know, Mark Lawrence joins us right now. Playbook.com, and I'm thinking, Mark, so who's at the table with Johnny? Is Ryan Leaf charging 102? Is Cato Kale in there, like, charging $50? Like, what a train wreck. This guy's got a lot of balls, doesn't he, Mark?
You ask who's at the table with him, my first guess is a lawyer, an attorney, because everywhere he goes, he needs one.
Mark, you know what I said off the top? You're going to like it. I said my first Super Bowl prop lock for Super Bowl 51, that he's going to get served papers. Somebody that's going to get his autograph would be a bailiff. He's got a million unpaid lawsuits. He's got all kinds of crap. It'll either get canceled or he'll get served papers there. Guaranteed.
Unbelievable. I hope that when he does take that selfie with the next person, there's a silver spoon that he holds up right next to himself, because that's who he is. He's a silver spoon person whose life has just become a train wreck.
Yeah, what a winner in life. This is what it's come to. I'll get people to take pictures with me. Like, yeah. I don't know, Grandpa must have cut him off from his allowance or something like that, but just comical. Like, show up at the college stuff. At least you're a Heisman Trophy winner. Like, you're an NFL bum. you got two career wins, John. You got a lot of nerve showing up to the Super Bowl and trying to sign autographs next to real players.
Two wins. That was one more than I thought he had. I don't remember when they both came, but
he won twice, actually. And it's two more wins. Like, they've only won one game since he's left, actually.
Bring back Johnny. That's what they're cheering in Cleveland.
Yeah, I think he won once as a starter, and he might have come in once and won. Like, he did win twice. He's 2-6. At least that's what I saw. 2-6 as a starter. Yet nevertheless, quickly on the championship game, epic stuff the other night with Clemson and Bama, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. In fact, I told a lot of people that if they were making a college football movie, I think that's the game that they would have wanted to film and use as the prototype for that movie. It was just dramatic. It was terrific. And I'm a huge Deshaun Watson fan, and I loved seeing him at the end of the game, the interviews, how grounded and down to earth this young individual is. It was just great to see them dethrone Alabama.
Yeah, and especially now that we find out more about Deshaun Watson, stuff I didn't realize, like Warrick Dunn, former Florida State standout, Tampa Bay Buccaneer, I think Super Bowl champion, worked on great running back. The Habitat for Humanity. He actually gave a house when he was in the NFL to the Deshaun Watson family. So I saw a picture of Deshaun Watson. He's like 10, 11 years old, little skinny kid. And Warrick Dunn's handing the keys to the house. And I didn't realize this, and it leads us into this game here, Mark, with the Seahawks and the Falcons. Because I saw Matt Ryan talking about Deshaun Watson. And I was like, that's strange. What are they asking about the championship game? And he's like, oh, I'm so happy for Clemson. I'm so happy for Deshaun. He's such a great guy. Me and him, we've known each other. And turns out that Deshaun Watson, when he was a kid, was the Atlanta Falcon ball boy. I didn't know that.
Wow, I didn't know that at all either. That's a great story. That and the fact that if you're a Cleveland Brown, you'd love to see him in uniform with the Browns. I don't know if they'd waste a number one pick or use a number one pick on him, but I'd sure love to see him in a Cleveland Browns uniform.
Yeah, I'm a Bills fan. I want him for the Bills.
There you go.
We're drafting 10. 10. You know what? Your Brownies, though, they got the top pick, and then they got the 12th pick. They could go with they could go defense number one, and then they could use that 12 to move up a couple of spots to get that quarterback if they wanted. Or, you know, don't forget that Mitch Trubisky kid. He's from Northeast Ohio, just like you are.
Yeah, exactly. You know, they'll end up with I'm thinking maybe Julius Peppers and maybe Watson with that number 12 pick. That might be a reach by some people, but you know, the Browns are loaded with draft picks, and all they can do is improve and get better.
Julius Peppers, you mean Miles Garrett?
There you go.
Yeah, Miles Garrett. Julius Peppers. Julius Peppers still balling, actually, though.
Yeah, he sure is.
Okay, so Seahawks and Falcons. I was reading the newsletter, playbook.com. Great information there. This is, you know, we're at the time of the year right now where we got good football teams. So it's it's almost like a Supreme Court case, Mark. You can make arguments for both teams in a lot of these football games, I would say, with the exception of the Texans. So, and I'm looking at your numbers, and, you know, well, let's go through this. You know, they played earlier in the year. What stands out is the fact that, what is it, Russell Wilson's got eight playoff wins?
He has
nine playoff wins in his career. Matt Ryan has one. And incidentally, it was actually against Wilson, right, when he was a rookie there. They won that game by 2 points. But you got a pedigree situation. Has Seattle been here, done that? Matt Ryan, 1-4 straight up, 0-4-1 against the spread in his playoff career. But, you know, you add it up, and Seattle aren't a great road team. They haven't been a great road team. And this Falcons team has played well against Seattle. They covered earlier this year. They played well against the NFC West. And the Falcons are a damn good football team, and Seattle do have holes. You know, you can make strong arguments for both sides here, in my opinion.
You know what I do, Gabe, is I have a couple of people I've talked to about this game, and a couple of people that I really respect really like Atlanta in the game. And my comment to them was, you know, after the game's all said and done, you look over and you don't cash that ticket, you ask yourself why. And what happened here? You ended up with a team with a better defense in Seattle, more experience with a quarterback in Seattle, and a coach that's not proven himself in Dan Quinn with Atlanta. I think those are the cases you make for the Seattle Seahawks in this football contest here. They are, as you mentioned, a pedigree dog in a playoff football situation, a game here. I have to like the points in this game.
Yeah, Russell Wilson, 13-3-1 against the spread in his career as an underdog. The Seattle Seahawks do have a bad history on the road, though, in the playoffs. 3-10 straight up all time, 5-8 against the spread. We saw them get pasted last year against Carolina. They were lucky to win that game on the road against Minnesota. There have been quite a few clunkers with Seattle on the road.
There have. You know, they're not the best traveling team. There's no question about that. But you divide this down into, to me, it's favorite or dog. And they're a dog in this football game. And that's the role that Russell Wilson shines in the most. Give this guy points. He's just been terrific in his career, especially off a straight up and point spread win. 7-7. Russell Wilson in this role. I got to grab those points with this guy in this pedigree.
Texans and Patriots, a tricky spot here as well. I mean, you know, when you're taking a team, generally you want to convince yourself, does the team have a chance to win the football game, right? When you're taking points. Or am I just hoping for a backdoor cover? Talked about this with one of your colleagues, Steve Merrill, earlier in the week. Problem for the Houston Texans is that backdoor is not really open for them. You know, they're not a pass happy, oh, we can score 14 points late if we're down by 28 type of deal. They have raised that white flag in the past before. They got shut out here. They got shut out last year in the playoffs. So if things go bad for the Texans, they can go bad. But at the same point in time, and I've been bringing this up, man, the Houston Texans have a lot of talent, Mark. Like, I almost understand why they want to get rid of O'Brien in a sense. They think they're underachieving, actually, there. They do have a lot of talent, but offensively, I just don't see where the points come from, even if the defense, like, slows down Brady a bit.
It's going to be difficult because in New England, what they bring to the table is a top 10 ranked offense and a top 10 ranked defense, and that's why they're the team to beat in this year's chase for the Super Bowl, the New England Patriots. And the question is, where are the points going to come from? They were here the third week of the season. They didn't dent the scoreboard. They left with a goose egg. So you have to wonder now that Brock Osweiler is behind center here, and he's lethargic at best, you know, where is it going to come from? They're going to have to rely, obviously, on the defense. They're going to have to take Tom Brady out of his game, and they're going to hope that this number one ranked defense defense taking more than two touchdowns ends up being able to cash the ticket here. I can't make a play in the game. If I did put a gun to my head, number one defense taking 15 points, I probably have to take the points.
Yeah, for the record, Bill O'Brien's coached 50 games with the Texans. He's only lost by 13 or more seven times. Interesting, though, Mark, the number opened up at 16, 15 now. So this is only the fourth time in NFL playoff history that a team was 16-point favorites. For the record, 3-0 straight up and against the spread. So when teams are laying big, huge numbers like this in the playoffs, they have covered in the past. Right, Mark, we only got a couple of minutes. So Steelers and KC, here's another one. You can make an argument for both sides.
No question about that. This is, I think, this and Dallas, the two best playoff games, I think, on the docket this particular weekend here. You've got Kansas City is in a role that they've really, really struggled in. That's playoff games. They're 1-9 straight up into the spread their last 10 playoff games. They've lost the money six times in a row at home in playoff games. They've lost four straight playoff games on the scoreboard at home. So they have to find a way to do something they haven't done in the past. That's win a playoff game. And I think it's going to be tough against a playoff caliber type dog in Pittsburgh. Big Ben Roethlisberger, Mike Tomlin have been there before. They've done that. They have a lot of the same look as the Seattle Seahawks do in this football game.
Yeah, there's a lot of talk about Andy Reid being 7-0 off a bye in the playoffs, 18-0 straight up, 14-4 off a bye versus sub 8-8 teams, as you wrote in the database. But, you know, I watched KC every game this year, and I had money on these games. Lost to Tampa, lost to the Titans. Jaguars game all that they can handle. Saints game all that they can handle on this home field. Arrowhead, you know, it isn't as scary as it used to be. And, you know, people didn't realize this. Le'Veon Bell last week, that's his first ever playoff game. So, yeah, now, you know, Pittsburgh's actually healthy in the playoffs, which they're usually not. I know Ben's wearing that boot, but I don't know if it was Bart Scott or somebody said, Ben plays with everybody in the playoffs. He'll walk around in the boot all week, and he'll be running around. He'll be just fine during the game, yeah?
Like he will. He'll be scrambling for yards and getting first downs, and you're wondering how he's doing it. This team, Pittsburgh, is really humming right now. You look at their last 11 games, they've out-yarded their opponents 10 times. This is a classic case. You put tape over the names of these two teams. You look at the stats. You'd make Pittsburgh the 3-point favorite in this game.
All right, Mark, you got a free play over at Covers Experts, an advanced play on the over of the Packers and the Cowboys, 9-1 to the over the last 10 times these two teams have played, 12-6 all time to the over, 18 times they played. And interesting from your database as well that I didn't realize the winner, Green Bay and the Giants, have played each other seven times in playoff history. All seven times, the winner of that game went on to win the Super Bowl or the NFL championship at the time. Unbelievable, actually. I think the Packers are a live dog here. I'd like it better if Jordy Nelson was going to be playing, but getting 4.5, we had one of your other colleagues on, Malinsky, earlier in the week, and he's like, you know, we were talking, I like Atlanta too, but I can make an argument, and Dave said, you take money line on both Seattle and Green Bay, one of them are hitting, and you know, maybe both of them hit.
I think he's got an excellent point there. Those are the two live dogs. You're talking about Seattle and Green Bay. I think you can even throw Pittsburgh in there, but the money line is going to be just about even, I think, when they kick it off. But you got two dogs in both the Packers and the Seahawks that I would play on the money line as well as back then plus the points.
Yeah, and as you say, we're getting points with Aaron Rodgers against a rookie quarterback, and Dak Prescott beat him twice in the same season. Going to be a great game, that one. Mark, it's always a pleasure, my man. We encourage people to check out playbook.com. Check out Mark's links to FireFan as well. You can get Playbook on your mobile device. It's a must-read, wealth of information, and there's basketball stuff in there, too. Always a pleasure, Mark.
Hey, Gabe, enjoy the games. Be good. I'll catch you next week, guys.
There's Mark Lawrence with us. All right, we take a quick break. Steve Atwater, two-time Super Bowl champion, joins me next. Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. We're having some issues with Steve Atwater. He actually answered, but said right now is not a good time, and we don't want to piss him off because he's Steve Atwater, and he can kill us. But we apologize for that. We'll try to figure out what's going on. I don't know. Maybe it'll be tomorrow with Atwater. But we're live. No rest for the wicked. The show moves on. So Atwater's out. Yiannopoulos is in. right now. Peter Yiannopoulos joins us. I appreciate the answer here. We called you about 12 minutes earlier, which is, it's all relative, because normally I call you like 12 minutes too late, Pete. So I guess it worked out.
Well, listen, we want to accommodate Mr. Atwater with his pedigree. As a Cowboy fan, I still respect him. Today, I didn't respect him as much when he played, but that's okay. I'm glad to accommodate, Gabe.
We appreciate that. It's funny. I do a lot of radio hits, too, and like they'll tell me, all right, we're calling at 3:35, and then they call at like 4:43, and I'm sitting there. I'm like, man, you should have told me 4:43, and then I can't get mad because I realize over the last 15 years, I probably wasted like 2,000 hours of people. We're calling at 4:45, and then we call 5:03. So yeah, it happens. That's why I don't get mad. I'm not mad at Atwater. It is what it is. He was booked. He answered and said, man, like he's in the middle of something. Whatever. It is what it is. Speaking of being in the middle of something, Pete, looks like Derrick Rose and the New York Knicks are in the middle of something right now, and it's not a good thing to be in the middle of. I don't want to make light of it because I hope Derrick Rose is all right mentally and psychologically, and I think something must be incredibly wrong right now, and Jeff Hornacek doesn't seem to be too sympathetic about it. A very, very strange situation with the Knicks right now, Pete.
No, you're definitely right. I think it's hit the heighten of dysfunctionality when you're talking about a New York Knicks franchise who brought in Phil Jackson and are paying him $12 million a year to bring back this franchise back to the glory days. But the glory days are way behind them, and right now they're just a chaotic mess. Your star point guard goes AWOL, decides to leave the city, doesn't show up for the game, doesn't bother to let anybody know that he won't be attending a professional basketball game, that his professional contract abides him to do. And a couple of days later, he pops in again. They leave Hornacek to answer the questions post-game, and they give him a measly fine. And 2 days later, he's starting against the Philadelphia Sixers tonight. I've never seen anything like it, Gabe. The accountability is gone. This is unprofessionalism on all matters, from Derrick Rose himself all the way to the top. They had people running to his house to try and find out if he was there and knocking on his door during the game. This is 2017. I can't believe that Derrick Rose, one, wouldn't bother letting anybody know, whether it's his teammates or somebody in the organization. That's your job. You just don't leave work and not show up to work without letting people know.
Well, in today's day and age, too, Pete, like you said, even if he said, and I get it, man, because I don't answer my phone, and I get where he's coming from in a sense when he said, I didn't want to talk to anybody. But at that point in time, like you said, it's 2017, you could have fired off a text to the GM. You know what I mean? Like, you could fire off a text to one of your teammates at the very least, which that would even been appropriate, and stating, tell him whatever. I'm not dead, but, you know, I'll be back in 2 days or something like that. But like you said, I find it weird. You plant him into the lineup tonight. It's just a weird scenario. He's not well. Obviously, he's not well. And I'm not blaming Jeff Hornacek for this. So he gets benched 2 games in a row in the fourth quarter. I don't believe that Derrick Rose would go home crying because he was benched 2 games in a row in the fourth quarter. This guy was mercifully ripped in Chicago. He just went through an alleged rape trial. And I don't think that he's that thin-skinned that him being benched a couple of times would make him go home to reevaluate his life. But at the same point in time, I don't think Jeff Hornacek and him are on the same page. And Jeff Hornacek's attitude really seemed to be pretty dismissive of it all to me, and I can't help but think, Pete, of Jeff Hornacek in Phoenix. Remember, the young players hated him, and it was like a mutiny type of deal. They went to the owner. They were like, this guy's terrible. We can't play for this guy. And I remember the owner, and I liked it at the time. He said, you guys are a bunch of spoiled millennials that, you think I'm going to fire the coach because you don't like him? And, you guys are more concerned with Instagram and Snapchat. He's like, I see you all online. He goes, I know what you're all about. And I loved it. He called his own team out saying, no, you're a bunch of punks. Shut up and play basketball. But now I see we got Hornacek with a bunch of veteran guys. Mello looks like he wants to punch him. Rose isn't even showing up anymore. Noah wouldn't shock me if the guy retires tomorrow. Phil Jackson's more busy insulting LeBron James and his personal crap with Jeannie Buss and stuff. Like you said, it's a freaking mess. And I don't know, man. Maybe Hornacek is a problem a bit here, Pete. What do you think of Hornacek?
Well, listen, again, this is unprecedented. We haven't seen this type of dysfunctionality, as I mentioned, in a long time in a franchise in the NBA. But when you look at Jeff Hornacek, he's a guy that played for Utah for a number of years. He played for Jerry Sloan. And, you know, they have that old school mentality, hard work. You got to earn your right to play. And that starts with practice. And I think Jeff learned as a head coach in Phoenix that it didn't really work out with some of those younger players. He comes into the situation. He wasn't the first guy on Phil Jackson's list, but he has a long-term contract. And now, again, you have to really connect with your players, specifically with your leaders. And I think with Carmelo, with Joakim Noah, but, you know, that's another story. But even with Derrick Rose, I mean, he's got his ambivalent, indifferent attitude, but you got to connect with your players. That's the job of a head coach. It's not necessarily being the best X and O guy. And it's crazy because about a couple of weeks ago, people were saying, well, Jeff Hornacek is up there as one of the best coaches this year. He has the Knicks in the playoffs, and now they've lost 8 of the last 9, and it's a big chaotic mess. So I think that he has to look himself in the mirror and say, hey, he's got to have to adapt to today's players and to some of the old school players who've been veterans as well. But this is a recipe for disaster. Anybody who thought that the Knicks, Gabe, were going to compete or make the playoffs or make a run, I mean, Derrick Rose is saying we're a big three. We're one of the top teams in the NBA. I mean, he must be delusional if he really thinks that. I watch a lot of the Knicks games. I mean, Carmelo Anthony, I mean, cannot even pretend to play defense anymore. Joakim Noah is a shadow of himself that he was in 2011. Let's not talk about what Derrick Rose brings to the table now. It's going to get uglier than it's going to get better in New York. And there's a general manager, Stephen Mills. I'm not quite sure what he's doing there with Phil Jackson, but they're silent. Hey, let's see what happens in the next couple of days. But it doesn't look good if you're a New York Knicks fan.
No, and that's the thing if you're the players, too. And Rondo brought this up. And Rondo's another story, too, in which, you know, I'm starting to wonder about him. He doesn't get along with anybody. But the situation is, too, Pete, you know this. You were a coach. You played. You got it. It's like anywhere, man. And I've been at places like this. I've worked at networks where I know the bosses don't like me even and don't care. So it makes it harder. You know what I mean? It does. And if you're Carmelo Anthony and Phil Jackson's in the media talking about how the ball dies when it goes to you all the time, it's going to upset you. If you're Derrick Rose and you've got personal problems and you know that Hornacek just thinks you're a big wuss and you're a big diva, and like I said, there's a problem there in which the players know management doesn't even like them. And Dolan's too busy right now forcing the Rockettes to perform at Trump's inauguration. Like, it's right from the top, right to the bottom, man. It's a mess.
Listen, when Ron Baker is getting fourth quarter minutes over Derrick Rose, and with all due respect to Ron Baker, Wichita State Shocker, he had a great career. But when he's closing out games for Derrick Rose, and obviously there's a disconnect between the head coach and his staff and the players and the team, and the guy that I feel a little bit bad for right now,
Porzingis,
Kristaps Porzingis.
Yeah,
right.
He's in the middle of this circus. You're right.
Yeah. So look what he's getting accustomed and assimilated to. The NBA life playing with
you
this.
Imagine Pete in that locker room too. Like, there, it's all poison. He has Melo telling him, kid, look out for yourself. Remember, you play for yourself. You know, you don't play with them. You play, you know, you're playing for them. You know, you got D Rose, who probably doesn't talk to Porzingis. You know what I mean? Like, you got like all these like just bad apples in here everywhere, like talking to him, man. Yeah, like poor Porzingis. Like you said, imagine if this kid was on the Spurs or the Raptors or something. You'd have a nice. Nice life. Hey, you can play basketball.
Incredible. I mean, if I'm the New York Knicks and I'm running that organization, I'm James Dolan. I'm like, listen, get rid of everybody and let's get some new blood around Porzingis. We're not going to win. We're not going to make the playoffs. If we want to keep this prize player who's going to be a top three, top five NBA player in about the next 3 to 5 years, you don't want him being associated with this type of situation. Again, Carmelo has that no trade clause. He doesn't want to go anywhere. And like I said, it's going to get worse. before it gets better, Gabe. That's the bottom line.
That's pissed them off too, Pete. You know that because they wanted to trade Melo last year and in a couple of years. Like, they've tried to trade him, and he refused the Chicago deal. He's refused everything. It's almost like he's disgruntled, but he refuses to leave. Like, it's an unhealthy situation. When I looked at the Knicks roster, I was like, yeah, you know, their season win total was 37, 38 or whatever. I was like, man, they could be a 500 team. And then I slapped my, you know, some sense into myself, and I'm like, no. Like, they're not going to stay healthy enough to be a 500 team, and they'll fall apart, which leads us to tonight's game. They're actually favorites tonight against the Philadelphia 76ers because it's the Philadelphia 76ers, but the Sixers have actually won three of their last four basketball games. The games that they're losing, they're competitive in. They've already matched last year's season win total, and, you know, I had my concerns that Embiid was going to turn into the next Greg Odom and, you know, never play and just always be that hype guy, but no, Embiid's for real right now, and he's got attitude as well. Like 19 points, 7 boards. The kid's bringing it, man. He's playing well. And you got Ben Simmons working out with the team right now. He's expected back right after the All-Star break. Embiid, they're not going to make it, Pete, but he's talking about we're still in the playoff hunt.
Well, there's no question when you're talking about pure talent, and especially at that center position, Joel Embiid has it all. I mean, his skill set is unbelievable. A man of his size, he could shoot the three, he could handle the basketball, he's got the great footwork, he could finish with both hands, finish with authority, he's a decent passer, and when he's engaged, he could block some shots and alter shots as well. The key for him, obviously, is the health issue, right? If they can keep him out, but I think they're being smart about not playing him in too many back-to-backs, whether he's upset about it or not. They have to look at long-term, and I'm watching this team, and unfortunately for them, they're starting to win a little bit too many games, because there's a great crop of point guards in the next draft in 2017, Gabe. Unbelievable. You got the kid Ball from UCLA. You got Fox from Kentucky. You got Smith Jr. I mean, it's going to be incredible, and that's what they're missing, a legitimate point guard. I mean, they start T.J. McConnell from Arizona. But again, they're playing better basketball. Coach Brown has done a good job. I guess they want to trade Nerlens Noel and Jahlil Okafor. Those were two bad draft picks, high lottery picks. They've realized that. But if they get Simmons back with Embiid, listen, even the Canadian Stauskas, I mean, he's starting. He's starting to hit some baskets. Saric looks like he's starting to get accustomed to the NBA level and the grind. Embiid has the swag. I mean, he thinks he's the best, and I love that in a player. Every player I've ever coached ever wanted him to have that swag, have that confidence. And I think the Sixers, if they get a point guard and they get a couple of guards in the next 2 years, they're going to be a force in the East. Colangelo takes over. Let's see if he's able to make Will and Beal and make the proper moves. What can he get for Jahlil Okafor? What can he get for Nerlens Noel, whether it's this year or at the draft? I think that's going to be imperative moving forward. But I think the Sixers are heading ultimately in the right direction. They're trusting the process that started years ago. But I'm looking forward to Simmons and Embiid playing together. That's going to be very, very tantalizing and impressive.
Yeah, because that's the thing. We got to get out of here. Simmons is like not a very good character guy. I don't know him, but it seems like there's enough smoke right now to say that he doesn't get along with his own like his sister on Twitter. Like, but with that being stated, he's not a selfish player on the court. So, you know, he's a selfish kid, but he's not a selfish kid on the court. You're right. So he's really going to provide a spark. We got to get out of here, Pete. Always a pleasure. Thanks for joining me, man.
All right, Gabe. Always a pleasure.
There's that Peter Yiannopoulos with us. Yeah, I think the Philadelphia 76ers get it done tonight against this dysfunctional New York Knicks basketball team. But we'll save that for our plays of the day. Chris Meaney's going to join us in studio. We'll talk some football and basketball. Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. I am Gabriel Morenci. We welcome Chris Meaney into the studio. Normally joins us on Unfiltered, but a little while since you've been on GTD. Always a pleasure, Chris.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Yeah, we were talking a lot of Falcons on Unfiltered last week.
I ended up doing it, actually.
And your challenge?
Yeah. And with the NFL.com playoff challenge, of course, you get double, triple, quadruple points as the playoffs go along.
Yeah, I'm all Falcons and all Pats.
Everybody takes the Patriots. Yeah. And I had the Patriots stacked with the Falcons.
Yeah.
And then at the last second, I was like, you know what? I'm going Pittsburgh.
Oh,
it's scary, though. Chance. I don't even know if they can beat Kansas City.
Yeah, that's the key. I mean,
I tell you, I got double points coming up this week with Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown. And, man, if Matt Ryan can get through this.
Yeah.
And I don't know, Chris, because the thing with the NFL.com playoff challenge, there is no proven strategy. Nobody really knows. It's a fresh concept. It's only 3 years old.
Yeah.
Nobody really knows it. And we all know you sort of need players. But you know, listen to this. Let's say Pittsburgh win this week. Mm-hmm. And then I go to Foxborough. I get triple points.
Yeah.
I'm getting triple points with the Steelers.
And if they beat the Pats.
No, let's say they lose. Will I have enough points? Like more, you know what I mean?
You're gonna need somebody in the Super Bowl. You need to. I went all Falcons and all Pats. I don't have Brady. I have Ryan.
Yeah, that's what I did.
I don't have a lot of Pats either. I got Blunt, Bennett, Edelman. Their defense.
Sounds like we have the same team. I went
Julio, Freeman, and
I just mixed it up. So it was like Steeler, Falcon. I got Matt Ryan, Le'Veon Bell, Devontae Freeman, Julio Jones, Antonio. It's like no cap. It's not DraftKings. Yeah, what a team, man. I'm looking at my team.
I'm like, 0 points right now. I'm in dead last.
Yeah, you are.
Because
huh?
I just picked nobody from last week. So.
Yeah, I know. But
it's
people,
interesting strategy.
The first time I ever played the NFL.com playoff challenge, you know, the first week I had like 148 points. I thought I was a genius.
And then
2 weeks later, I'm like, I can't keep up with this times three stuff.
Yeah, no, you can't. You're right. You have to really strategize and just forget week one altogether and just go ahead and pick a team that you think will at least go to the third round of the playoffs.
That's why Mayo doesn't believe that. Mayo believes that you're better off.
Believe a lot.
Yeah, I know. Mayo thinks, no, you can rack up the points and then get double after, but the math won't work.
No.
Even
really, there weren't a lot of spectacular quarterback performances. I know Rodgers had a good day, but other than that, there wasn't a lot of spectacular
performances. No, and that's the thing. You know what?
From that position.
Ben Roethlisberger, he had the quick two touchdown passes, but after that, it tailored out.
Yeah.
Because I was kind of kicking myself. I should have taken Brady or Ben maybe, but I just hope Brady doesn't have like a huge fantasy game this week, which he probably will.
Yeah.
He always throws three touchdown passes.
Yeah, I know. He always gets his three touchdowns, maybe a heavy dose of Blunt in the second half of that football game if they're up. But yeah.
Out of the quarterbacks this week, so you got 8 quarterback choices. Aaron Rodgers, the most expensive. DraftKings. So Aaron Rodgers, most expensive. You got Brady, the second most expensive. Matt Ryan, 7,000. Then you get your Russell Wilsons.
Yeah.
Dak Prescott, next to Brock Osweiler, is the second cheapest quarterback. Only $6,000 for Dak Prescott. Out of all those QBs, who are you going to play?
I think I'm going to play Ryan. I'm just really feeling the Falcons. I understand that Dak Prescott, he had 3 touchdowns earlier in the year against Green Bay. Amazing, all of these games, rematches, and division rivals. So cool. I think it's cool anyways. But, I'm in on Matt Ryan. I think he's a good quarterback. And in GPP, I'm going to roll out Big Ben just because I feel like nobody is going to play Big Ben. You look at some of the numbers. I mean, Matt Ryan has been awesome this year. He went into Seattle, had around 350 yards, 3 touchdowns. Yeah. He was fine in that game. Julio was great in that game. I'm not really worried about Seattle's defense. They don't show up on the road as a
So you're liking the Falcons.
So I'm liking the Falcons a lot, actually. And then I'm willing to roll out Big Ben in a GPP, a bigger tournament, because I don't think people will play him, and I think it's a bit contrarian. He did have 5 touchdowns against KC earlier in the year.
Yeah.
I know it was at home, and if you look at the splits, it's just completely off the charts. This game's away from Heinz Field and then at home, but
I know,
I'm willing to roll the dice on that fact that just there's one lineup.
We talked about this earlier, though, and you're right. There's been a lot of clunkers for Pittsburgh on the road this year, and over the years, actually. And the dichotomy of the fantasy numbers, the home-away splits are obviously evident. But with that being stated, the Kansas City Chiefs at home this year, I know. One of my survivor picks was the Chiefs over the Saints. I had to sweat that game out all day long.
Yeah.
The Saints were in it. It was closer than the final score indicated. Jacksonville. I remember a survivor game because the guy I was head-to-head with had Kansas City. And I remember I was like, man, Jacksonville had the ball at midfield with the last few. I was like, ooh. I was like, maybe I can win here. I took the Tampa Bay Buccaneers plus the points. 19-17, same scores. And they lost to Tennessee 19-17. They lost to Tampa 19-17. And in fact, they lost like the last 4 home games in the stats. They've been out-yarded. Kansas City aren't a dominant football team.
They're not a dominant football team. They're just, as you said, Gabe, I mean, mean, they're in every football game, and that's the thing. I mean, you can't really count them out. They control the game a lot. They have a good defense, and, you know, Alex Smith, he's not flashy. He's fine. He's one of four quarterbacks in postseason history.
He's efficient.
Put up a stat line with 350-plus yards and four TDs and no picks. He's done that before.
Yeah, no one's talking about him for DK, actually.
Nobody's talking about him. If Pittsburgh's going to roll and get some points, I know it's tough in Kansas City, but, like, listen, like, that was the first game where all three of Ben, Bell, and Brown played together in a postseason game. They've never had their weapons.
Crazy.
They had their weapons last week, and it was they just rolled over Miami. So, yeah, Alex Smith is fine. He can control the clock. He doesn't throw the ball downfield, but he's got nice weapons, and Tyreek Hill's been awesome. Jeremy Maclin seems like he's healthy right now. He showed up in the game earlier.
I got to squeeze Tyreek Hill into a lineup here.
If you look at the game log, yeah, he's done it every single week. He showed up with at least 15 DraftKings points. It's been weeks now from this guy. Nobody wants to believe what he's been doing. It's like, no, he's not going to return a touchdown again. He's not going to do this again. And yet he continues to do it every single week. And if you look at DraftKings, he's not priced appropriately. He's under $6,000. He's certainly worth it. And I like Maclin. I think that they could be some
$4,300.
$4,300.
I'll tell you what, if Tyreek Hill doesn't do something real flashy and he doesn't score, Pittsburgh's winning this game.
For sure.
That's for you, Luke, in the booth right now. Your boy Hill better step. He better be. Oh, there's Hill again. And oh, I can't believe he did it again. Because if you don't get that from him, it's going to be a problem. You got to outscore Pittsburgh. All right, we only
He's got
30 seconds left. The other games, obviously, New England's going to beat. What about Dallas and Green Bay? Who do you like?
Yeah, Dallas and Green Bay is really intriguing to me. I'm still on Green Bay. I don't like the fact that Jordy Nelson's not there. I don't like that he's not going to play. But I think they can do enough with Cobb and with Adams. It's just Rodgers is so hot right now and a rookie quarterback.
Can't go against them. All right, we got to get out of here. Capitals and the Penguins. Quick, who do you like?
I like the Caps.
Yeah, I like the Caps tonight, too, actually. They're both red hot.
I'm not trapped with Washington.
I never win Washington games either, though. All right, we'll come back with some losing picks. Right, it's not very often, and we start off our plays of the day by telling you that we like the Philadelphia 76ers. That's right. The Philadelphia 76ers get a point and a half, maybe two, depending on when and where you're going to bet this game against the Knicks tonight. Knicks are dysfunctional. Sixers are feeling good about themselves right now. They've won three of their last four games, and Embiid's a badass. Give me a fired up Philadelphia 76er team tonight. Memphis and Oklahoma City. I'm normally pretty good with Oklahoma City games. It's going to be a tough game here for them. I think this game comes down to the wire. Give me the Grizzlies plus 4.5. Grizzlies aren't known as a high-scoring team, but they've been an over machine over the last 3 weeks. Let's go over 203. Got a big college basketball game tonight. This one's a little dangerous. We saw last night, boy, we took the points with Baylor. Fortunately, we had the over as well, but home teams generally win in college ball. But with that being stated, man, Butler getting 5.5. Real, real attractive tonight at Creighton. And we got a big hockey game. Give me the Capitals against the Penguins in a real toss-up, man. May the winners be yours.